Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. What puts people at ease? The practice? Give no one cause to fear you. Why? We evolved to be afraid. The ancient ancestors that were casual and blithely hopeful, underestimating the risks around them, which were predators, loss of food, aggression from others of their kind, did not pass on their genes. But the ones that were nervous were very successful. And we are their great-grandchildren, sitting atop the food chain. Consequently, multiple hair trigger systems in your brain continually scan for threats. At the least whiff of danger, which these days comes mainly in the form of social hazards like indifference, criticism, rejection, or disrespect, alarm bells start ringing. See a frown across a dinner table, hear a cold tone from a supervisor, get interrupted repeatedly, receive an indifferent shrug from a partner, watch your teenager turn her back and walk away, and your heart starts beating faster. Stress hormones course through your veins, emotions well up, thoughts race, and the machinery of fighting, fleeing, freezing, or appeasing kicks into high gear. The same thing happens in the other direction. When you send out any signal that others find even subtly threatening, their inner iguana gets going. That makes them suffer. Plus, it prompts negative reactions from them, such as defensiveness, withdrawal, counterattacks, grudges, dislike, or enlisting their allies against you. Thus, the kindness and the practical wisdom in the traditional saying, give no one cause to fear you. You can and should be direct, firm, and assertive. Without needing to fear you, others should expect that if they break their agreements with you or otherwise mistreat you, there will be consequences. You reserve the right to speak up, step back in the relationship if need be, take away their privileges of a misbehaving child or the job of a dishonest employee, and so on. But this is simply clarity. Rocks are hard. You don't need to fear rocks to take their hardness into account. I know this as an aging rock climber. Much of the time, the fear, the anxiety, apprehension, unease that we trigger in others are mild, diffuse, in the background, maybe not even consciously experienced. But studies show that people can feel threatened by stimuli they're not actually aware of. Think of the little bits of irritation, caustic tone, edginess, superiority, pushiness, nagging, argumentativeness, eye rolls, sighs, rapid-fire talk, snarkiness, demands, high-handedness, righteousness, sharp questions, or put-downs that can leak out of a person, and how these can affect others. Consider how few of these are necessary, if any at all, and the mounting costs of the fears we needlessly engender in others. Think of the benefits to you and others of them feeling safer, calmer, and more at peace around you. How? Assert yourself to the things that matter to you. If you are sticking up for yourself and getting your needs met, you won't be as likely to get reactive with others. Appreciate that the caveman, cavewoman brain inside the head of the person that you're talking to is automatically primed to fear you, no matter how respectful or loving you've been. So do little things to prevent needless fears, like starting an interaction by expressing whatever warmth, joining, and positive intentions are authentic for you. Be self-disclosing, straightforward, unguarded. Come with an open hand, weaponless. As you can, stay calm in your body. Get revved up, and that signals others that something bad could be coming. Slow down. Fast talk, rapid instructions or questions, and quick movements can rattle or overwhelm others. Sudden events in our ancient past were often the beginning of a potentially lethal attack. Be careful with anger. Any whiff of anger makes others feel threatened. For example, a crowded and noisy restaurant will suddenly get quiet if an angry voice is heard, since anger within a band of primates or early humans was a major threat signal. Consider your words and tone. For example, sometimes you'll need to name possible consequences, but watch out, since it's easy for others to hear a threat, veiled or explicit, and then quietly go to war with you in their mind. Give the other person breathing room, space to talk freely, a chance to preserve his or her pride and dignity. Be trustworthy yourself so that others do not fear that you will let them down. Be at peace. Know that you have done what you can to help prevent or reduce fears in others. Observe and take in the benefits to you, such as others who feel safer around you give you less cause to fear them. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's another. Does it feel safe with other people? The practice: relax needless fear around others. Why? We all know this fear. You step into a meeting with people you know, and still there could be a watchfulness, a restraint, a certain carefulness in how you speak that comes more from subtle anxiety than reasonable prudence. Perhaps someone disagrees with you in this meeting and you feel uneasy, off balance, unprotected. Maybe later you worry about what others thought about how you responded to the disagreement. Was I too irritated and pushy? Do they think I'm defensive? What should I do next time? When you get home, let's say your teenage son is quiet and prickly as usual. You want to tell him that the chilly distance between you feels awful and you want to open your heart to him. But it feels awkward. You're afraid of making things worse. And when you spoke from the heart while growing up, it did not go well. And the fears reaching back into your childhood shadow and strengthen your fears today. So you say nothing again. And these are just the milder social anxieties. Consider stronger ones, such as common fears about others getting angry, public speaking, being vulnerable, talking with authority figures, what others might think about your body, or being around people who aren't like you. Sometimes these fears are justified. People in your life might actually want to pressure, dismiss, mistreat, hurt, or exploit you. If you belong to a group of people that have been systematically discriminated against, harassed, assaulted, or even worse, it's perfectly understandable to be wary of this happening to you, perhaps again and again. On a larger scale, think about the recurring theme throughout human history of authoritarian leaders revving up grievances against them in order to increase their own power and wealth. It's prudent to be alarmed about this when it's happening, especially when there is still time to stop it. Safety is arguably the most fundamental need of any animal, including us, and it's vital to be clear-eyed about threats and strong and skillful in dealing with them. Nothing in what follows is meant to minimize this. All this said, it is also true that very often our fears around other people are not really justified. Much of the time, they couldn't care less about what we did. We are usually just a bit player in their own personal drama anyway, or if they do care, it's a passing feeling. Even if the other person does react, most likely you could handle it fine. Further, if there truly is something to deal with, a conflict, issue, broken agreement, betrayal, it's possible to be clear-eyed, strong, straightforward, confident, and secure without being anxious about it. Anxiety is something added to our response to situations. Sometimes it's helpful, but usually it clouds thinking, adds needless suffering, and fuels conflicts with others. So, there are two kinds of mistakes we can make: having too little or too much anxiety around others. We should do our best to avoid making either kind. But which mistake is more common? It's the second one. Having too much needless anxiety stirred into the sauce of life, making it bitter. How? Be mindful of anxiety around others, especially subtle unease, concern, tension, nervousness, or worry. Tune into your body, that little jump in the heart rate or funny feeling in the pit of your stomach. Watch the thoughts passing through, the quiet murmuring in the back of the mind that overestimates threats and underestimates resources, that predicts problems that are actually unlikely. Be aware of the costs to you of unnecessary, not useful, not valuable anxiety. Besides feeling bad, it makes a person play smaller with others, hold back his or her truth, and hunker down, or go to war in the ways small and large. Then, really decide in your heart if you want to be free of this worthless fear. With someone who you know cares about you, try saying to yourself and adapt my suggestions to your needs, I know you're not going to attack me. Find your way to having the statement ring true and then see how you feel. Do it again with this statement to yourself. Even if you did attack me, I would still be okay in the core of my being. Let the truth of this and related good feelings sink into you. Here's another one. I can take care of myself around you. Let this too sink in. And if you hurt me, I'll still be okay in my core. And I wish you well. If you have any difficulty with this practice, try other people who love you. The essence here is to feel your way into a place in which you recognize others and situations as they truly are. You take care of your own needs, and no needless anxiety is added. Then, try this practice with one or more friends. And then, with a neutral person, such as a stranger on the street. And then, even with someone who is difficult for you. If there is truly something to be anxious about, so be it. Otherwise, keep opening up to the experience of being realistic about others and strong on your own behalf, without feeling any pointless fear. Also, try this approach when interacting with others. Can you talk with a family member, a friend, a neutral person, a difficult person, without one bit of unnecessary worry, alarm, sense of threat, or uneasiness? As you deepen your sense of being appropriately fearless with others, keep letting this experience sink in so you become increasingly grounded in this way of being. Enjoy the sense of freedom this practice brings, the greater ease with others, and with confidence. Notice how you can be more relaxed, patient, open, and caring with other people when you are not afraid. What a comfort, and what a relief. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. Wishing well? The practice. Bless. Why? Bless, which means seeing what's tender and beautiful and wishing well. For some, this word has religious connotations, but I'm not using it that way. Blessing includes compassion, kindness, appreciating, honoring, non-harming, warmth, cherishing, and love. You can see I'm using this word broadly. It's leaning toward pain rather than away, helping rather than harming, giving rather than withholding, opening and extending rather than closing and contracting, wishing well rather than ill. delighting in rather than finding fault. You can bless others in the world and yourself, and any parts of any of these. Blessing is obviously good for others and the world, and that's plenty of reason to offer it. As a bonus, it's also good for you. It strengthens gratitude and gladness, opens your heart, deepens connection, and tends to evoke good treatment from others. You experience people in the world as blessed rather than threatening, disappointing, or rejecting. By blessing, you feel blessed. How? Deliberately feel warmly towards someone while wishing him or her well, that he or she not suffer, and be truly happy. Also, be aware of a benevolence towards others, looking for good things in them. Use this to know what the act and the attitude of blessing feels like, and to take the experience of it so that you can call upon it in the future. To bless someone, see their goodness, efforts, hopes, suffering, and what's neat about them. Let yourself be touched, moving past the idea and the should of blessing to the experience itself. Feel a warmth, a kindness. You can express good wishes with actions, a touch, an opened door, a charitable gift, or words. For example, may you be at peace. May you be loved. Or inside your heart alone. Blessing means not harming, hurting, criticizing, or dismissing. If any of these is present, blessing isn't. Don't let blessing feed a subtle superiority, the blesser who is better than the blessee. Let others be who they are, and don't presume that you know what they need. In the moment of true blessing, there's little, if any, sense of self, of I, me, mine. You bless them for them, not for yourself. Bless the people you know, and also bless strangers. It's powerful to look at someone passing on the street, get a sense of the person, and then wish him or her well. See what happens when you bless people who have really helped you, friends and family, even people who are difficult for you. See what it's like to deliberately offer compassion, kindness, prizing, or love. You can also bless parts of yourself, your pain, your darkness, your light, as well as yourself as a whole. Do blessing deliberately. And over time, be blessing. It becomes where you came from, your ground and natural inclination. You can be stressed and pressed and still bless. Find your warmth and good wishes among the mental clutter, like hearing wind chimes outside amidst storm and rain. but also take care of yourself. It's hard to bless if you feel bad. Blessing does not mean approving. You can wish people well while also disengaging from them. Fundamentally, blessing means treating another person as a thou, not an it, not a means to your ends. Think of thou as a verb. To bless people is to thou them. You have been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more programming coming to you from Sun Sounds.